We're going to read from John chapter 15 as we continue on in our series. I believe it's verses 17 through 18 through 26, 25 rather. And let's read that together. Let's begin. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You may be seated. I invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to the Gospel of John as we continue on in the series in the Gospel of John. And also in the bulletin is an outline. It's on the back of the announcement about the Christmas mailbags. If you'd like to follow along with that, and it will follow in the PowerPoint as well, and I hope you'll find that helpful. We're moving forward in this series in John. We have looked in the previous chapters, Jesus' commands about loving one another. Last week, we looked at the first part of chapter 15, the first half, where he talked about our call to bear fruit, bearing fruit in our lives. Fruit that will last. And now, his message or his verses here are talking about how are we to relate to the world around us. How are we to relate to the world around us? Let's pray, would you? Father, we come now to your word and we ask that you'd open our hearts and open our ears to hear the Spirit of God taking the word of God and making it real to us. Give us receptive, open hearts, Lord, and give us hearts that would obey you. As we've read time and again here, that he who loves you would obey you. So, Father, we commit ourselves to be in submission of your word and of your truth. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to talk this morning about the fact that Jesus says we belong to him. After I became a Christian, a serious Christian, at age 19, an odd thing began to happen. In my life, I began to feel kind of out of place as I went and hung out with friends that I'd known for most of my life, grown up with, went to school with, went to high school with, and now many of them was going to college with, as many of you guys are going to college locally with some of your friends, you know each other. But I began to feel a little bit out of place. When I would go and hang out with my friends, I just felt this sense of being out of place. And then, you know, it wasn't just like that I didn't like them or anything. Nothing had changed in terms of our relationship. But I just felt like, you know, it didn't fit quite the same. Then I remember this one particular party that, some of my friends invited me to come to. And, you know, we got to the party and, you know, people were hanging out. And after a while, several of them, you know, started smoking pot. And, you know, that's something that I had pretty much repented of and said, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. Pastor, you smoke pot? Oh, yeah. BC days, before Christ. Some of you are shocked, just being real. And, I was uncomfortable with that. And then some of them even began to pull out some other drugs, and I said, you know what? I'm out of here, guys. I'm just really not comfortable being around this. I never really had much interest in that kind of thing, because some people, oh, I want to get out of control. I want to just lose control, lose myself. I don't want to lose control. I mean, I'm dumb enough as it is. Just regularly, when I lose control, I'm really dumb. Really do stupid things. So I just left. And again, not making a scene or calling them wrong or anything like that. I said, I'm just uncomfortable. And so I would just leave. And I didn't belong. And it was a revelation that began to form in my life that I belonged to Jesus. I'd given my life to Him, and I belonged to Him. Larry Norman, who was really the first Christian rocker, in 1972, he wrote an album, said, Only Visiting This Planet. And I love that album. It became one of my favorite albums. He said, this world is not my home. I'm just visiting this planet. And for those of you who know Larry Norman, yeah, I just dated myself, 1972. Yeah, boy, that seems like a long time away, doesn't it? Whew! Anyways, interesting thing just began to happen. My friends who had been, close friends with me, just kind of began to have this subtle mocking. Oh yeah, Tom, he's that Jesus freak now. Yeah. Billy Tom Graham, stuff like that, they would begin to say. And just moved from that to, out and out sort of mocking, then just ignoring me. Not really including me in things anymore, just kind of avoiding me. And that hurts when friends do that. But I had to understand that it wasn't so much me, it was because of His name. It was because of Jesus. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep my loyalties to Jesus? Am I going to follow Him? Or am I going to cave into, the peer pressure and go with my friends? And so there was times I had to walk alone. There's going to be times you're going to have to walk alone. There's going to be times that all the crowd around you is going that way. And you're going to have to walk and follow Jesus, and you're going to go alone. And you need to decide now and every day that I'm walking with Jesus. I belong to Him. That old song, that old gospel song, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. As we look at this passage this morning, 18 through 25 is my preaching portion, and the primary reference as he's talking there about the world who hates you, the primary reference in this context is really the Jewish religious leaders that hated and opposed Jesus. They hated and opposed Him. Jesus threatened them. Jesus threatened the status quo. Jesus threatened their power structure. Jesus threatened their setup. See, they had it pretty good. They had it pretty good. They had this setup where, they're the religious experts, and they dole out the religious truth to the masses. And, of course, you're required to make your payments, which filled their coffers and allowed them to live quite luxuriously. And Jesus came in and upset the apple cart. He came in, as you know, He literally did that. He came in and kicked over their money tables. And He said, what are you doing? You're turning my Father's house, which is meant to be a house of prayer, you're turning it into a den of thieves, of robbers, a place of business. And so Jesus upset them, and they hated Him for that. And so the primary reference here is really to the Jewish religious leaders and all those who opposed Jesus directly. And then, of course, there is a second and wider application for them and for us, and that wider application is really any of the unbelieving world around us that opposes us and opposes Jesus Christ and hates us, opposes us, persecutes us, reviles us because of His name, because we bear His name. The main point of what I want to say with us this morning is this, that we must expect, we should not be surprised that the world hates us and will persecute us because Jesus has chosen us out of the world and we belong to Him. Jesus has chosen us out of the world and we belong to Him. Now, let's define terms. You know, I like to do that. When we say the world, what do we mean by that? When Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. What does He mean by the world? The world is this. It is the human system that opposes Jesus Christ. It is that sphere of people who are deceived and controlled by the evil one, that is Satan. That is the world around us. He's not talking about the physical world around us. Okay, He's not talking about, you know, the beautiful earth that He's made for us to enjoy, to serve us. No, He's not talking about that. And He's not talking about everybody, but He's talking about those that are the unbelieving portion of people that oppose Jesus and they oppose us. Now, let's talk about that for just a minute. Jesus said some things about this. John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus calls Satan, the evil one, He calls Him the prince of this world. I believe Dylan Glasgow is going to read that for us.
Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out.
Jesus is going to the cross. He's heading towards Jerusalem, and He knows what's coming. And He says, now the time has come for judgment. And the prince of this world will be driven out. Satan is called the prince of this world. In other words, under God's sovereign control, Satan is allowed, because of man's fall, to have dominion over people. He has dominion over people. And the only way that you get out of that dominion under Satan is to turn to Jesus Christ, and He sets you free from the dominion of Satan and the power of sin. So, He calls Satan the prince of this world. Another scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The scripture there through Paul says, the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers. The God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they do not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. You wonder why, and I've heard people say these comments that, yeah, I just don't understand how people can't believe in Jesus. How can they just not believe in Jesus? How can they ignore Him? How can they believe that He's not true after all the evidence, the Bible and witnesses, over 500 people see Him after He's resurrected? How can they not believe it? It's not just a natural thing. It's not just a natural unbelieving. We, by nature, are skeptics, are we not? We all kind of relate to Thomas, the original skeptic, who was not with the whole company of the disciples when Jesus appeared. This doesn't make him bad. It makes him human. And he says to the other disciples who say, Jesus was here, He's alive, he says, I'm having a hard time with that. He says, unless I see Jesus, unless I put my hands in His side where He was stuck with the spear, and I put my fingers into the nail prints in His hands, he said, I will not believe. What's he saying? Like you and me, he's saying, I need proof. I need some evidence here. He wasn't willing to take the disciples' word alone. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, Jesus does say to Thomas, by the way, He doesn't just send him a message, does He? What does He do to Thomas? He appears to him. He says, Thomas, come, put your fingers in my hands, put your hand in my side, stop doubting and believe. Then He goes on to say, blessed are you because you've seen, blessed are those who will not see and yet believe. He's not saying that He won't make Himself real to you. What He's saying is, guys, I'm not going to be here physically anymore. And you're going to have to believe through the testimony of the apostles and the witnesses and through my word. So blessed are you if you believe in Jesus Christ on the basis of the testimony and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We're all skeptics by nature. We are all skeptics. And unbelievers our skeptics, as we all had been at times, and something convinced us. It was the work of the Spirit who convinced us. But in the meantime, there is this supernatural power that veils the hearts and the minds of unbelievers. It's like blinders on their eyes. It's blinders on their ears and blinders on their hearts. And only in Christ is it taken away. So, just a word out of that. Be merciful. Be gracious to those that don't believe. Right? At the end of the book of Jude, which we studied in Sunday school class a few weeks back, that's how it ends, right? Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch them from the fire. In other words, make every effort that you can to bring them into a belief of Christ, knowing that it's the Holy Spirit who's doing the work, but be merciful to them. And so, Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot even see, believe, and understand Christ. Well, let's try to break this down for the next few minutes. Understanding that this sphere of people who are deceived and controlled by the evil one, Satan, hate us, oppose us, persecute us. Number one, we go back to the first thought, we don't belong to the world, we belong to Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus says this of chapter 15, He says, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. I have chosen you out of the world." If you know Jesus Christ, you have been chosen by Him, chosen out of the world. He's chosen you to be His. A lot of times we say this, and there's even a song. And I like the song. It's called "I Found Jesus," you know. Well, guess what? The reality is, you didn't find Jesus. He found you. Jesus wasn't lost. You didn't have to find Him. He knew right where He was. You and I were the ones that were lost, and He found us. Now, I understand what you're saying. You know, you came to understand and believe in Jesus Christ. So, you know, I don't get too hung up on those terms. But we understand Jesus is the one who finds us. If you've been even in church for a short time here, you know our heart and our encouragement is that all of us here truly know Jesus Christ. We have right in our mission statement at the top of the bulletin that we're here and our purpose is to love Jesus and love other people to Jesus. We want to do everything we can so that you too, together, we can know Jesus Christ, know His love, know the hope that He has for our lives, and serve Him together. That's our desire. And we'll do anything we can. We want to be of any help so that you can know Jesus. And so, let me ask you this morning, do you know Him? Do you truly know Jesus Christ? Do you belong to Him? Have you come to that point where you've heard His call, you've heard His voice, and you've come to Him, and you've embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? You've bowed the knee, and you've said, "Yes, Lord, I understand that I'm a sinner. I'm in need of forgiveness. I am in need of Your sacrifice and Your atonement for my sins, and I embrace You as my Lord and my Savior. My faith is in You." Have you come to that point? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that in your heart, if you belong to Jesus Christ. If you say, "Well, you know, Pastor, I think I belong," then you need to have some assurance of salvation in your life. If you're not sure, you can know for certain. Did you know the Scripture says that? At the end of the Gospel of John, it says this whole Gospel was written. These things are written that you may know the Lord Jesus Christ. You may know, you may be sure that you have eternal life. And so, I encourage you, if you don't know, we would love to speak with you. We would love to encourage you. We would love to answer any questions you might have, but challenge you to know that you belong to Jesus. And so, as we know that in our lives, as we know Him, we see we're called by Him. And what are we called? We're called out of this world. We are called out of this world system. I mean, it's not that He's telling us to leave Earth. You know, I'm not surprised. I would be surprised if there was some Christian group that said, "Oh, we're not supposed to be in this world, so we're going to start a colony on the moon." You know, Christians have done some pretty goofy things over the centuries, so I wouldn't be surprised. It doesn't mean that we're called out of the physical world. No, we're called out of this world system. Well, what is this calling? Let's look at 1 John 2:15 through 17. Randy Nelson's going to read that for us.
Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Could you go back to verse 16 there for me, James? We talk about the world, we're really talking about a value system, a perspective, a world view on life. And here's really what the world system of this earth is. It is the cravings of sinful man. In other words, it's whatever I want to do, that's what I'm going to do. Hey, if it feels good, do it. Right? That's the old slogan that came out of the 70s. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, it can't be wrong. That's the cravings of sinful man. It comes also from the lust of his eyes. In other words, whatever I see and I want, that's what I'm going for. You know that old bumper sticker? It's been around for a couple decades now. Whoever dies with the most toys wins. You know, guess what? Your toys are going to stay here for me to enjoy. And you're going in the ground. So, you know, toys have nothing to do with eternal life. I remember Keith Green in Last Days Ministries, there was this new slogan about, hey, I'm going to go with my friends to hell. I don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to go and spend hell with my friends. And so he came up with this little cartoon, and it said on there, with waves of flames, no surfing in hell. There's nothing pleasant about separation from God. There's nothing pleasant about, you will not be with friends. God says you will be eternally separated. It'll be outer darkness, gnashing of teeth. There's nothing pleasant about it. Separation from God, think about it this way, it's everything that is good that we experience in this world out of God's grace and goodness, it's an absence of that. It's an absence of it. And so we're called out of the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and does. In other words, this whole system of, hey, you know, I'm the self-made man. I'm the self-made woman. It's all about me. It's all about what I've done. And really, this is the world around us, the value system of the world. And Jesus calls us because we belong to him. He says, don't love the world. Don't love the world. And here's the hard thing. All of us in our flesh, we are drawn to the world, aren't we? We're drawn to this. There is this part of us that's just like a magnet. We're pulled to it. And we have to fight against it. That's why the Christian life is called a war. It's called a struggle. Galatians chapter 5. Our life in Christ is a struggle. The flesh struggles against the spirit. The old man struggles against the new me in Christ. And Jesus says, do not love the world. Now, how do you know if you love the world? Well, it's what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart. Jesus said this. He said, out of your mouth, for out of the mouth comes the overflow of the what? The heart. Out of the mouth of man comes the overflow of the heart. So, let me make a comment. Whatever it is that you talk about, that you spend all your time with, that you focus on all the time, that's what's inside here. That's your love. It's whatever you give yourself to, whatever you spend all your time with, you spend all your money on, you spend all your activities on, you think about all that. If that's what's coming out and that's what's the evidence in your life, that's what your love is. Now, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, sit in your room and pray 24/7 and read your Bible and sing Kumbaya. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you have to have life, right? You have to work, but your work is unto the Lord, right? And there's nothing wrong with recreation, with play, but you play and you have recreation unto the Lord. You enjoy life that He's given to us, but we enjoy it with the perspective that Jesus Christ is first in my life. I belong to Him. And so guess what? That begins to change how you act, just like it began to change how I acted. Just began to change my heart, my life. See, I didn't want to do those activities anymore that just kind of drew me back into darkness. Drew me back into those things which were, you know, unhealthy for me, stupid. You know, killing brain cells. You wonder why we act so stupid when we do sin. Well, because most of the things we do kill our brain cells. You know, why is it? I mean, you hear about things like this, oh, you know, got kids who are sniffing airplane glue to, you know, to get high. You know, do you know how many brain cells that kills? And you know, they find all these different ways to do these things. It's like, guys, we're killing ourselves doing this stuff. Slow suicide. Why would we do that? Well, we're drawn to this dark side. We're drawn to it. And Jesus said, don't have anything to do with that. Don't love that. If you love me, He said, I will begin to transform and change your heart inside. So don't love the world. We're called out of it. Well, as we begin to walk in this calling, as we begin to walk in what Jesus has called us out of and follow Him and allow our lives to be set and focused on Him, number two, we will find that the world around us, the system that opposes Him, will hate and persecute us because we belong to Jesus and because of His name. We've got to accept that. We've got to embrace that. We have to understand the world around us will hate and persecute us because we belong to Jesus and because of His name. Verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Verse 20, remember the words I spoke to you, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. So Jesus is saying, guys, don't be surprised. Expect, in a sense, that this is going to come, this is going to happen. Now, all of us will experience this in different ways and in different levels. Each week in the bulletin, we, under our prayer requests, we have something that goes to the persecuted church. And we do that purposely here, and we appreciate that it was, I believe, several years ago that Melissa Dawson wanted to encourage and start a ministry of helping us to be aware of persecuted church, which is our brothers and sisters in other countries that are undergoing persecution that we can't even imagine. And so guess what? Like today, each week we try to bring something new about the persecuted church to keep us educated, to keep us in the know of what's happening in the world today. We're called to be world Christians, amen? We're called to understand what God is doing in the world today. So guess what? We have brothers and sisters in Christ in Iran. We have brothers and sisters in Christ in Afghanistan, too. Did you know that? You have to understand that God has His people everywhere throughout this world. And they are undergoing a persecution that we can't even imagine. They risk their lives. At times, you see that certain people are killed because of their faith. And so Jesus is saying, you know, you ought not to be surprised even if this happens. So folks, let me ask you a question. What are you and I going to do when the time comes, and I'm not sure when, but I would not be surprised if it's not too far down the road where persecution begins to set into this country. We have seen inklings of it. What are you and I going to do when that begins to happen? Are we going to stand strong in our faith? Or are we going to cave in? Are we going to go with the crowd? Are we going to compromise? Are we going to try to avoid persecution because of His name's sake? So when, you know, those who are making a list of people who are to be targeted because they're Christians, they believe in Jesus Christ, and they approach you and they say, oh, are you one of those Christians? And they've got the pencil in hand and the pad. They're about to write your name down if you bear witness to Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? Who do you belong to? You belong to this world? Or do you belong to Jesus? You need to decide now. See, right now it's easy to decide this right here and now because, you know, everybody here, yeah, praise the Lord, bless you, brother, bless you, sister. Yeah, it's easy. What are you going to do when they come for you? We need to make that decision now. We need to decide, you know what, Jesus? I don't care what's going to happen to this physical body because You've called me to be Yours and be Yours eternally. Each week we try to bring something about the persecuted church. I hope you pray for them. These dear brothers and sisters, they need our strength and our prayers. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine being in jail. And you know, jail over there is nothing like jail. Jail here is like a country club compared to these jails. If you go to jail over there, if you don't have anybody to bring you food, guess what? You don't eat. Because you're depending on friends and family to bring you something while you're in jail. And so I hope we're praying for our brothers and sisters. Well, each one of us are going to experience this differently at a different level. As we move closer to Jesus and we're more open about our relationship with Him, you will experience it more. It will intensify. When I took a job in a hospital, I've mentioned this before, and I began to work around people that I didn't really know very well, and they began to hear that, you know, I'm a Christian. And then it wasn't too long after that I felt a calling to the ministry. Oh boy, did they have fun with that one. You know, all kinds of insults and teasing and scoffing and mocking. It's like, you know what? You gotta get used to it. You gotta develop a thick skin and keep a tender heart. You can't be concerned about what people are gonna say. You can't be concerned even when close friends, they begin to mock you, they begin to insult you, they begin even to forsake you. Now, if that's the only level of hate that you experience, consider yourself blessed. Most of the disciples that followed Jesus were martyred. They were killed for their faith. You know of the horrible, horrible persecutions that happened throughout the centuries of the early church. People were killed. It's church tradition that Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. I mean, Christians were killed, you know, during many of the persecutions. They were thrown to the lions. They were burned alive in pitch. I mean, just horrible, horrible stuff like this. So if all you ever experience in terms of persecution is that you're being mocked and maybe some friends forsake you, they won't have anything to do with you, consider yourself blessed. You getting off easy. We need to be faithful. God calls us to be faithful. Now, let me say a word of caution here, a word of wisdom. Don't bring problems upon yourself. You know, if you're starting a new job, don't go up, and those of you who just started new jobs, this is a word of encouragement to you, don't go up to your boss and say, hey, you know, I know Jesus Christ, and if you don't know Him, you're going straight to hell. That's probably not the wisest thing to say. And to be honest, it doesn't really bear good witness to Jesus either. Right? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they praise your Father in heaven when they see your good works. Now, there is a time and a place to testify, to bear witness to Him. There is a time and a place, and you can do it, and you can do it respectfully, and you can do it discreetly. Okay? Matthew 10:16, Jesus says this, therefore be as shrewd as snakes, but as innocent as doves. He's saying there, use wisdom. Use some discretion. You know? If you already know that someone is sort of resistant, sort of belligerent, you know, just back off. You know, I'm not saying compromise your faith, but, you know, if you start to talk about Jesus a little bit and someone says to you, listen, you know, you can have whatever you think, but I'm really not interested in hearing that. Don't persist. Don't make yourself a nuisance. Don't make yourself an irritant. You know, if they're interested, if the Holy Spirit's working in their life, it'll happen. You don't have to make it happen. Christians sometimes think they have to make things happen. We don't have to make it happen. If you put a word out there, you're kind of throwing out a little catchword about Jesus, trying to see where somebody's at. Hey, if God's working, they'll be open. They'll ask a question. They'll say, hey, really, tell me more. Tell me more. I told you about my friend Frank that I worked with up at Eagle Electric, up in Boston after college. And, you know, I was young and brash and a bit ignorant. I hadn't really grown in my faith a whole lot in this area. And, you know, so I was always talking about the Lord and, You know, if somebody used Jesus' name in vain, you know, if they used His name as a curse word, oh man, I was on them. I was all over them. I'd be like, why are you using the Lord's name in vain? You know, you need to stop that. They're looking at you like you're a kook. They're like, what are you talking about? They don't even understand what you're saying to them. But I did. I persisted. And this guy, Frank, he came to my office and he said, Tom, he said, you know what? He said, I don't really care whether you think Jesus Christ is your Lord or not. He said, I'm going to continue to use His name as a curse word. I'd like somebody that say that to you. Say, yeah, I don't really care what you think. I don't really care that it offends you. I'm going to say it anyway. Now, I should have just backed off, shut my mouth, and prayed, committed to the Lord. But no, I had to go on. I wrote him a note. You know, I was like, Anyway, you get the point. Don't make yourself a nuisance. Don't make yourself an issue. I think Christians bring a lot of problems on themselves, and then they call it persecution. Oh, the devil's after me. Well, you know, if you're supposed to be working, and you're spending time, you're stealing time from your employer, and you're talking to a stranger about Jesus Christ, you may think that's great. I don't think your employer, unless he's a believer, I don't think he's going to like that too much. Because you're supposed to be working. You're being paid to work. Now, unless your employer gives you that freedom, which is great if he does, but if he doesn't, guess what? Tell them after work, let's get together and I'd love to talk to you. But don't steal your boss's time and then say, oh, the devil's persecuting me. No, he's not. You're just being stupid. You're just bringing problems on yourself. I've done that many times. I've done that. You know, and the boss walks into the room and there you are talking again. You know? Not that I would love to talk, you know. But, you know, the boss walks into the break room and there you're on around coffee and you've been there for 20, 30, 40 minutes. Hello? The boss isn't going to be real happy about that. And especially if he's already got this bent against Christians and you're stealing time from him. That's just one example of many that I could give. Well, I'm not going to go on. We need to be wise, used to have wisdom in our hearts and lives so that we're not making problems for ourselves. Having said that, draw a line in the sand as well and don't compromise. I appreciate so many of you. You have at times had to put your job on the line when an employer has told you to do something that you know is not right. And you said to them, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And even in the face of pressure, where you sense you could lose your job, you've stood strong. You said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to compromise that way. You know? And here's the way, just to give you a word of wisdom with this, if an employer says this to you, you ask them this way, so, ma'am or sir, you're asking me to violate my conscience to do what you're asking. Or if it's something morally wrong, you're asking me to violate something that's morally wrong and violate my conscience. Is that what you're asking? Most people will back off if they understand that you're taking a stand. And if not, stand your ground. Stand your ground. You don't have to be ignorant about it. You can be respectful and say it kindly but firmly that I'm not gonna compromise. So we need to be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, understanding it's going to come because we bear the name of Christ. You understand that Satan's really not too concerned about you and me as individuals. It's that we bear His name. We bear Jesus' name. And He wants to make Jesus Christ look like a fool. He wants to make Jesus Christ look, you know, and especially those that bear His name, He wants to violate and compromise our witness and our testimony. That's what He wants to do. And so if He can get to you and use you to do that, He will. He will. And that's His purpose, because of His name, because of Jesus' name. Well, as we wrap up, number three, and boy are we going long on time here. Number three, we don't need to worry about the world around us. A lot of times we think, oh man, you know, I've got to get out and save the world. Well, this world system around us, number one, is not going to be saved. It's going to end. God's going to burn it up and start over with a new heaven and a new earth. This world is not going to end. Not going to stay. It's going to end. So, you don't need to worry about it. Those in the world that will turn to Jesus Christ, their eyes will be opened, just like with us. When we turn to Christ, our eyes open. 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says, when we turn to Christ, the veil, the blinders on our eyes, is taken away. And so those in the world are without excuse, for Jesus has revealed the Father to them, yet many of them still hate them. Just like these religious leaders, Jesus revealed the Father to them. He showed them the miracles, He gave them His teaching, and yet they persisted, they hated Him. And Jesus says in verse 25, it fulfills what is written in their law, they hated Me without reason. Isn't that amazing? We have to be careful as Jesus people that we don't get caught up in religion. See, religion is, you know, we take that which God has made known to us and we use it to beat other people on the head with it. That's not Christ's love or His grace or hope for people. No. When you are trying to take that, His truth, His word, and you are basically trying to beat people down with it, that is not what Christ intended. See, that's what the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, that's what they were doing with people, and that's what they were trying to do with Jesus, right? Time and time again, they tried to trap Him. You know, Jesus, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? They were trying to catch Him, because, of course, they were very anti-Rome. And so Jesus says, pull out a coin, right? And He says, whose face and whose inscription is on that coin? Caesar's. Well, He says, well, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. He's saying, you guys are trying to make it either or. He's saying, it's not either or. It's both and. Pay your taxes. That's what God has allowed to happen. But you need to give to God what's God's. So, you know, don't try to trap Me. And they time and time again tried to use the truth and the grace of God to trap Jesus, to beat Him down. We're not called to that. And we don't need to worry about the world around us. We leave it in God's hands. Jesus is working in this world. He's trying to draw them. But guess what? He will only do it through those of us, you and me, when we are submitted and we say, I belong to Jesus. And therefore, I will do whatever You want, Jesus. I'm going to be a good testimony. Even if the world hates me, I'm going to be a good testimony. Time doesn't allow us. We're going to end with John 8, but I think we'll encourage you to read that on your own, John chapter 8, verses 42 through 47. It's more of the interaction with Jesus and the Pharisees. Encourage you to read that on your own. Let's close in a word of prayer, and I want to encourage us to still our hearts before Him. Jesus, thank You so much that You love each one of us and You've called us, Lord, to Yourself. And You've called us to belong to You. Called us out of this world. Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, for the one that might be struggling. They sense that struggle in their own heart and life. Lord, they want to follow You, but they're struggling with the call and the lure of the world. Father, I pray You will strengthen that person. Lord, help them to draw a line in the sand and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow You. Because You have called me and I belong to You. I'm going to follow You. So Lord, I pray for that person today. Those people that are struggling here, I pray You will strengthen them. Lord, we know that we can't do this in our own strength. We know it's Your Holy Spirit in us who strengthens us every day to follow You. And Lord, help us when we face persecution, whatever level, whatever way it's coming towards us. Give us strength to face it without compromise, but having wisdom. Give us the words to speak. That's what You promised, Lord. You give us the words to speak at the time that we should speak for You. So, Lord, we lay hold of that this morning. Lord, I bless these people. I thank You for their attention to Your Word. Lord, may Your Word dwell in us richly. We give You the praise and the glory in Christ's name. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. As we close the service this morning, if you have a prayer need, we invite you to come and let us join hands with you and pray. We would love to do that. God bless you all. Take time to greet each other. Do your fellowship in the lobby. And in a few minutes, we'll begin to move the chairs, stack them up. Thanks for your help. God bless you all.